What is up, everyone? You are watching Kind of Funny Games Daily for the 23rd of November. I am your host, Tomo Sane, and I am joined by Gary Witter. The boys from Britain are back. How are you doing, Gary?
Good, good. I'm glad to be back with you. That first show that we did, whenever it was, some weeks ago, was really fun. So I'm glad they put us together again.
It was a good time. I think we were vibing off each other as British people, and I want to try and keep that energy going. So I'm bringing you something that I know that you love, so we can start off with that, and that is Fall Guys.
A great British game.
A great British game. Truly, truly. It is the most British game, I would say. It reminds me of all the weird TV shows that we used to watch.
Are you not old enough to have grown up with It's a Knockout on British
television? No, I watched It's a Knockout.
Oh, you did?
I watched It's a Knockout, yeah.
Everyone, when they talk about Fall Guys, they all reference Takeshi's Castle, but I think given that the game was developed in Britain, was probably more influenced by It's a Knockout, which was like the great British version of that concept.
Yeah, I think when I watched it, there was reruns. As well as I think they tried to do like a newer version of it, but it didn't catch on. So I remember watching a lot of reruns of it. And there was like, occasionally there would be like, when they couldn't get new episodes going, they'd get like the Australian version or the other version. And it was never as good as the British version.
I don't know if it's on YouTube, but for anyone who's not familiar with it and wants to have a good time, maybe do a YouTube search for It's a Knockout on YouTube, and maybe there'll be some clips of the old British TV show. But it's I think a lot more like Fall Guys than anything else, in that they would dress the contestants up in these ridiculous, massive costumes that they were forced to kind of run around and negotiate these obstacle courses with. And the announcer was famous for like cracking up laughing because it was so ridiculous. It was a fun show.
It's like, I haven't thought about It's a Knockout for so long, but I'm glad that you mentioned it, because I do my streams on Twitch where I usually like start off my streams by watching Crystal Maze, the old school ones, and like my emotes, Richard O'Brien. And my emotes are of like Richard O'Brien's face. And I like learned so much. I watched that and Fort Boyard a lot of as well, which I describe as horny Crystal Maze, which because it basically is. But like, I had no idea that Richard O'Brien wrote the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I didn't discover that until later. Wild. Yeah, I mean, he obviously already had a great resume before he even did the Crystal Maze. That's like what he continues to be most famous for. You know, wrote it, created it, is in the movie. And was also a great host of the Crystal Maze. They brought it back recently with Richard Iotti. Did you see that one?
I've not seen that yet, but I think I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm working my way through the old seasons, and it's real, real good. So like, I'm watching, and there's a lot of Americans watching my streams because I'm streaming on like Pacific time, and they're like, "This is wild, and it's so cool." And there's a lot of people who are now fans of Crystal Maze because of it. I'm just like, I'm glad that this great British classic is spreading.
It's a great concept.
Slowly.
I don't know why it never really took off in the US. Yeah. Also, since I've got you, and I feel like we're going down the same like your British digression corner we did last time, but you'll appreciate this, and it is actually relevant to our podcast. Did you see that they're bringing back Games Master?
I did see it.
Games Master is coming
clips.
Back.
Yeah, I saw a few clips, and like I know some of the people that are working on it, and it looks interesting. Like I remember Games Master back in the day was so much fun.
You know, I was on it. I used to be on it. I was one of their guest reviewers when I was like a tiny baby game reviewer, like 19, 20
That's
years
amazing.
Old.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
There's clips out there on YouTube of like Gary reviewing games on Games Master.
Oh, I got to find those. They replaced, what's his name, as the actual Games Master.
Well, so is that, because I saw a trailer with like a Scottish guy in like an Obi-Wan Kenobi robe. And I was like, did they bring back Dominic Diamond or is this someone
No,
new?
It's not Dominic Diamond. It's Rab Florence.
It's Rab Florence. Okay, yeah, so they stayed with the Scottish theme, but they didn't bring back Dominic.
And they've got, what's his name? The news anchor, Trevor... the classic BBC... BBC
Trevor McDonald?
Trevor McDonald.
Is he the new Patrick Moore?
Yeah, he's the new Patrick Moore.
No, really?
Yeah, and it's really...
Oh,
he's
I might
really
have to watch
good.
This.
It's really good. He's really good, yeah.
I might have to watch this.
Yeah, they've got like some real good talent. Like I know like Frankie Ward, who's a well-known esports commentator and analyst, is working on it as well. And she's incredible. And so there's a bunch of great people who are involved.
It sounds like they might be bringing it back more into... Like not the like the old show was, which was kind of a grab bag of reviews, and it was like a magazine show. Now, I guess it sounds like they might be leaning more into the competitive esports aspect, because that's where it is now.
Yeah, so they have competitive. It's mainly around the competition element of it, and you do get that slight explanation of what a game is. So occasionally you'll see, like, Trevor McDonald talking about, I don't know, Super Mario Brothers or something
like that.
I gotta
say, Trevor McDonald as the new Games Master is inspired, isn't it?
Casting. It's inspired.
That is absolutely brilliant. In the same way that Patrick Moore was back in the day.
He's incredible, and like it seems like they've got like current content creators who make sense there, like MC Fixer is on it and that kind of stuff. He's a kind of funny best friend and various other people. So it looks like they're doing it right. I've not actually seen a full episode. I've only seen a couple of clips, and there's also an Instagram filter where you can be the Games Master and record yourself. So I had fun with that.
How far we've come.
But yeah, it's incredible. But getting back to the original story. Fall Guys season 6,
yes,
launching in November 30th. You excited for that?
So a week from today, and they're doing the reveal of what season 6 is later today, correct?
Yeah, well, I think it might be out. So
they already announced what it is. What's the theme? I'm not
seeing it. Fans will be tumbling into a festival themed Blunderdome on Tuesday 30th of 2021 with the launch of season 6 Party Spectacular.
All right.
So the details were revealed in a stream event. You can watch that after this. You can get caught up on it, but it looks pretty cool. 5 new rounds, 25 new costumes, 50 tiers of fame, path rewards, Sackboy limited time event. There's like a Full Tilt, Party Promenade, Pipe Dream, a bunch of new games to play. It looks very, very cool. Very, very like party themed.
Nice.
I'm sure you're going to have a great time.
I love
it.
The Fall Guys, people don't talk about Fall Guys anymore, but it's still out there. You know, it's still powering on, still super popular. Don't forget, Nintendo Switch and Xbox versions still to come, at which point I think it will find a whole new audience and pick up again. But like basically every time they bring out a new season, you know, people come back to see what the new levels are and the new theme is. So I still love Fall Guys. One of my favorite games of recent years.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad that they're trucking on, especially given that they are a lovely little British studio. So,
absolutely, Mediatonic. They were a tiny little studio doing like
Had a Full
Boyfriend and these weird little games, and then next thing you know, they're bought by Epic and they're a big deal.
Oh yeah, I forgot they were bought by Epic. That's wild. When I joined GameSpot as an intern, I think one of the first things that I worked on as like doing a preview for was a game that they made. Back in the day, I can't remember what it was called, but it was a completely forgettable game back in the day, and it was like my first review for it. So I've got like a special place in my heart for them.
One other piece of Fall Guys news that I saw in the announcement that I'm pleased, because I play Fall Guys both on PlayStation and on PC, is that I believe with Season 6 they're also adding cross progression. They said you'll have to sign up for an Epic Games account, but that Epic Games account, you'll be able to log that into both, you know, your PC and your PlayStation if you have both. And you'll have cross progression at last. So I'm glad to see. One of the things, I don't know if you ever watched my episodes when we're not on together, but like my big thing is cross-play and cross progression.
Yeah, yeah.
And every time they add it, I'm happy. Every time they don't, I'm like, the fuck are you doing? It's 2021. Get with the program.
Be done.
Yeah, seriously.
So that was your Fall Guys update. Just a small taster of news, but today's main stories include an update to the Activision Blizzard story, which also features Nintendo's response to it. A little PSA on buying the Xbox fridge, which might be a bad idea, sadly.
And we're gonna
talk about the bold new future of Harmonix and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news that you need to know to justify your life decisions. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong, which never happens, by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, as always, you can use the Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite, a little indie game from Epic Games there, and that will help support Kind of Funny. To be part of the show, you can head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members are above get to write in, and silver members are above get the show ad-free, along with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, I mean, one time, let it be a bad game of sweeping. This week is Thanksgiving week in the United States, which I learned about yesterday.
Really? You just somehow learned that yesterday?
Yeah, I just keep forgetting.
How long have you been here?
Dude, I've been here, but I've been in a room for close to 2 years. So, like, that's how it's been. Like, some traditions.
I suppose.
Yeah, some traditions still haven't, like, embedded in my mind.
It's a very big deal here.
I've heard. But what I learned was, like, we have multiple days off. So I was like, oh, I was not ready for that. But I'm glad that that is happening. And Kinda Funny does have a few days off. So there is going to be no Kinda Funny games daily live streams after this one. This is all you get. So savor it. Enjoy it.
Oh, this is the last one before Thanksgiving?
This is the last one. That means that there's going to be a couple of extra long segments that I'm going to breathlessly rattle through just to get you. Because I didn't want you to leave you hanging for the rest of the week. So I'll fill you in on some of that. On top of that, there's a brand new episode of PS I Love You XOXO out now, and it's a hell of an episode. Blessing and Janet do their best PlayStation character bracket, and if it isn't the Hunter from Bloodborne at number one, I will denounce that podcast. That went down live on Patreon, where viewers had the opportunity to vote in straw polls to break ties and help determine the characters that moved on. If you missed it, no problemo. The episode is available now, and it's definitely worth checking out. Thank you to our Patreon producers, who are Pranksy and Blackjack. And today we are brought to you by ExpressVPN, Purple Mattress, and Upstart. But we will tell you more about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and will forever be the Roper Report. It's time for some bloody news. We've got 5.5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much, as always, Kevin. First story is, sadly, yet another update to the Activision Blizzard situation. Today, Activision Blizzard has created a workplace responsibility committee in the wake of the Bobby Kotick situation. This story comes from the number one video game website on the internet, GameSpot.com, written by my very own Eddie McCooch, who says, Activision Blizzard has announced the formation of a new committee to help improve the company's workplace culture in the wake of reports about sexual harassment and discrimination. The controversy recently reached new heights after the Wall Street Journal published a report that said CEO Bobby Kotick knew about and covered up instances of sexual harassment at the company. The new Workplace Responsibility Committee is tasked with implementing its new policies, procedures, and commitments to improve workplace culture and eliminate all forms of harassment and discrimination at the company, Activision Blizzard said in a news release. The chairperson of the committee is Dawn Ostroff, who has been a member of Activision Blizzard's board since June 2020. Ostroff is currently chief content and advertising business officer at Spotify. She also held executive level positions at Condé Nast, 20th Century Fox, and the Walt Disney Company. Another Activision Blizzard board member, Rivetta Bowers, is joining the committee. Bowers has been on the board since 2018. She previously worked at the Center for Early Education for 44 years. Activision Blizzard also said, this is a bit of a long one, but I think it's important to get through it. Activision Blizzard also said in its news release that it is looking to add another board member to the board. The company is also working to add a diverse director to the board, diversity director. As for what the Workplace Responsibility Committee will do, Activision Blizzard said it will be charged to require management to develop key performance indicators and or other means to measure progress and ensure accountability. Kotick and other Activision Blizzard executives will provide frequent progress reports to the committee, and the committee will share its findings regularly with the board of directors. The committee may also work with outside consultants or advisors, including independent legal teams, as part of its efforts to improve company culture. So I'm going to cut it short because it goes on for a little while. But effectively, Activision Blizzard, in light of the reports coming out, damning reports coming out against CEO Bobby Kotick, has set up a committee. And I tweeted this on the other day, but I tweeted the picture of Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man and with the caption problem, the people fixing the problem. And it feels like this is very much doubling down on that kind of scenario where a committee set up by Activision Blizzard will help Activision Blizzard figure out its problems without any sort of kind of responsibility or any sort of consequence being kind of going back onto Bobby Kotick, who, let's not forget, as well as reportedly covering up harassment, also threatened to kill someone, which is an unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in. Gary, anything you want to kind of respond to it on
I largely agree with you. I mean, I don't think anyone's impressed or swayed or fooled by this news. I think we're all smart enough. Even though Activision Blizzard may take us for idiots, we're not. And we all see this for what it is, which is an exercise in crisis PR management and optics rather than really attempting to tackle the substance of the problem. And what indicates that is the fact that the people that have been put on this so-called responsibility committee are all existing people on the board, the same people that were there when they got into this mess in the first place. And I've said it a million times before, you don't hire the people who set fire to the house or were asleep at the switch when the house caught fire to then put out the fire. You bring in someone else who doesn't have that that culpability on their hands. You want some, there's no independence to this committee. This needs to be an independent situation. Asking the people on the existing board who are really only interested in protecting their own positions and protecting Kotick. The board has been circling the wagons around Kotick for a while now, and it's disgraceful. Many of the employees aren't fooled by this. The shareholders that have been calling for Kotick's head, as well as some of the people that have been on the board, you know, for long periods, aren't fooled by this. They see it for what it is. I think many people are not going to be satisfied until we start to see some like heads at the very, very top roll. I don't know. Yeah. You know, they're obviously trying everything they can. Say, will this do? Is this enough? Will you leave us alone now? Can we go back to normal now? What about this? What about this? But hopefully the public, the media pressure, the employee pressure, the shareholder pressure, the pressure from consumers will continue until they realize that there's no option left than for them to do the thing that they should have done the day this story broke, which is get rid of Kotick. Mm-hmm. Sweep all of the shit out of the boardroom and bring in a new team that is actually interested in rebuilding the once great, now sadly catastrophically sullied brand name of both Activision, but two great video game brand names. Two names that used to be synonymous with, oh yeah, that's really good, Activision and Blizzard, are now, when you think that, as soon as you say Activision Blizzard, everyone just goes ugh, right? Like that's that's not what you want. I tell you what else is not what you want. The heads of Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo all going, we don't have to consider like what we want to do with Activision Blizzard in the future. Mm-hmm. How can this be a situation where, as the CEO of the company, you're going, I think I'm doing a good job? No, you really, really fucked up, dude, and you need to go.
And on top of that, how can board members and shareholders be okay with that? Because the important thing to point out is, no employees on this committee, as far as we can tell. No one that represents the employees' interests. No one that can represent the people who are victims in these scenarios, the people who have lesser powers. And we had a few days ago reports that shareholders and board members, that kind of stuff, they were doubling down on their support for Bobby Kotick, which means the people who have already been reportedly supporting him through this horrible situation are now part of the committee that will exonerate him quietly and sweep it all under the rug, which is just unacceptable. And what Gary said is 100% true. Like, you're not fooling anyone anymore. Like, people have wised up to not only these awful business practices and like the way you treat your employees, but the schemes and the sleights of hands that you think are clever and still work, but do not work in a modern day scenario. Listen, this is very old school tactics, PR tactics, and kids on the internet are not having it anymore.
And I just want to point out that even though the most important thing right now is the workplace culture and the harassment, look at this, even if you set that aside for a moment and just talk about how good a job has Bobby Kotick done of running that company, I think at the end of the day, all they look at is the bottom line and the company makes money, and at least, you know, for the time being. I don't know how much longer that's going to last the way things are going. But if you look at the way that Activision and Blizzard has done under his stewardship, it's fucking, or Activision doesn't do anything. Activision is Call of Duty Incorporated. And even that train is running out of steam. Call of Duty Vanguard has been very, very poorly received because it's totally clear they're completely running out of ideas. What else does Activision have other than just iterating on Call of Duty every year? Remaking Tony Hawk? Fucking Spyro the Dragon? It's an empty vessel. Blizzard, one of the truly great blue chip names in video games, the fucking Pixar of video games, has stagnated terribly since it became part of Activision. What do they do now? Remake their old games, one of which was a complete disaster, probably the worst thing they've ever done. World of Warcraft is tanking. People are completely, like, is creatively bereft, and people are leaving it in droves. There's nothing new exciting. Overwatch 2, there's delayed, nothing new. There is under Kotick, Activision and Blizzard have both undergone a period of creative stagnation, which I think is completely unforgivable. But again, as long as the shareholders are making money, I guess none of that matters. I just think it's a shame as someone who's interested in video games, and I want, you know, these great storied brand names, Activision and Blizzard, the two names that I grew up with and have been synonymous with some of my favorite games I've ever played. Now they just sit there and do nothing and just iterate on Call of Duty and remake their old games. And it's just sad to see the, again, the sexual harassment and the discrimination and the workplace culture, that alone is enough for Kotick's head to roll. Yeah. If you put on top of that the fact that just the stewardship of the company as a whole in terms of, there's no ambition, it's just what's next year's Call of Duty going to be? That's all they care about. If they had never had a hit with the original Call of Duty, do you think Activision would even still be around today? They have literally nothing other than that, and it's tragic to see.
Yeah, yeah, it is. The stagnation is, like you said, separating all the horrible workplace practices. Stagnation is so apparent. It is like it feels like the most obvious of all the major publishers and developers that Activision has just got not a lot going for it. And Call of Duty, like you said, it is very quickly running out of steam. And the fact of the matter is, like, from a business perspective, like, the name Activision Blizzard is now becoming poisonous. And
yeah, it's like Atari, a once great name that is now just looked upon as a joke. And you kind of look at it and go, man, remember them? Like, what happened to that company?
Yeah, I mean, like, it is as simple as, like, even games that I like that are from them that I still play, when that logo pops up, I'm like, ugh. Like, I play Sekiro, for example. That's an Activision published game. And I'm like, ugh. Every time I boot it up, I'm like, maybe I won't do this for a little anymore. But they're not making games other than Call of Duty right now. And that is to my benefit as someone who's trying to be a little more conscious about supporting these businesses, because all they make is Call of Duty, I don't care about Call of Duty anymore.
And I wouldn't mind that if at least they were bringing something fresh. But, you know, because they've gotten to this cycle now where they just have to iterate every year, like fucking every November, we have to have a new Call of Duty. So they've got these multiple studios working on it. And, you know, in terms of, like, just a churn machine, they've got that, you know, down very well. They never miss a date. They always have a new, very polished looking game every year, and they make a lot of money. But creatively, they scraped through the bottom of the barrel a long time ago. I mean, just look at this most recent one. I remember the last one when they did Call of Duty World War II. I'm like, really, back to World War II again? Do you not have any other fucking ideas? And they've done it again. Let's go back to World War II again. They have no fucking ideas.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that you know, it's not a good situation to be in when the heads of the major three platform holders are, you know, doubting their relationship with you. That leads nicely into our next story, which comes from the second best video game website on the internet, GameSpot.com, also by Eddie McCouch. Nintendo responds to the distressing and disturbing Activision Blizzard and Bobby Kotick reports. Like Sony and Microsoft, Nintendo of America has now weighed in on the situation surrounding Activision Blizzard involving CEO Bobby Kotick, who is said to have known about and covered up instances of sexual harassment at the company. Nintendo of America President Doug Bowser sent an email to staff on Friday, November 19th, in which Bowser said the reports about sexual harassment at Activision Blizzard are distressing and disturbing. The note was sent to all levels of Nintendo of America, according to Fanbyte, which was the first to acquire the email and subsequently confirmed the contents. Along with all of you, I've been following the latest developments with Activision Blizzard and the ongoing reports of sexual harassment and toxicity at the company, Bowser said. I find these accounts distressing and disturbing. They run counter to my values as well as Nintendo's beliefs, values, and policies. According to Fanbyte, Bowser told Nintendo of America staff that the company wants to have an open and inclusive workplace where all are welcome. The executive added that Nintendo has been in contact with Activision, have taken action, and are assessing others. Bowser didn't share full specifics, but in the email he said he called on the Entertainment Software Association, a lobbying group for video games that also runs E3 every year, to, as Fanbyte puts it, hold its members to the highest standard. Nintendo of America and Activision Blizzard are members of the ESA. Every company in the industry must create an environment where everyone is respected and treated as equals, and where all understand the consequence of not doing so, Bowser said. A spokesperson for Nintendo told GameSpot, we can confirm the content of Doug Bowser's internal email to Nintendo of America staff is accurate, and we have nothing further to share on the topic. So if anything, the industry is turning against Activision Blizzard. If not the gamers, the industry is doing it.
It's an unprecedented situation. Can you ever think of a time in history where the three major platform owners have all come out and said, this is unacceptable? This has never happened. This is a new low.
The most we've got is companies washing their hands of another one and just stepping away without saying anything. The fact that statements are being publicly issued, confirmed, and you know the heads of these companies are outright pointing the finger and saying you need to sort your shit out is like you said, it's unprecedented. I've never seen it in the, my entire.
No, career. It's and now I think once Jim Ryan came out and said something, I imagine that Xbox and Nintendo felt like they had to follow, otherwise they're kind of conspicuous by their silence, but good for all three, especially Nintendo, who are usually so, you know, circumspect, you know, because they have that kind of Japanese company culture of usually being very quiet and not, you know, making any waves. But, you know, they jumped in as well. The big question is going to be beyond those statements, which are, you know, again, unprecedented words, but still just words. Nintendo and Sony and Xbox need to do more than just clutch their pearls over this. I think, you know, unless you know, there is actually some substantial change, and I think we all know what that means at the top of Activision Blizzard, I would love to see some real consequences. What does that mean? Well, maybe they start fucking pulling Activision Blizzard games off their stores. That, I guarantee you, that would light a fire under the board real fast.
Yeah, and like marketing deals, you know, Activision and Sony traditionally have a pretty close relationship when it comes to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Those need to... I've been keeping an eye on, like, how, if that has changed, and I don't think I've seen much of it. Like, the Call of Duty stuff is still around and present, but I expect that there's going to be some real reassessment happening at Sony around future kind of partnerships. And I imagine the similar is going to happen to Xbox and Nintendo as well. And as we have said before, like, the only way to really make a statement for corporations like this is hit them in their wallet. So, you know, from a corporate perspective, I'm sure Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo doing that will definitely hurt. But if you're someone out there as a consumer who feels like they can't do something, you can. And that is vote with your wallet and just start pulling away from it. Be vocal about it, support the people who need it at those companies, and make sure that you're not spending money on those games. I mean, there are still ways to get those games, like pre-owned and stuff like that, that kind of stuff. I don't know, if you want to take a stand, you can. There is a way. And when they start seeing numbers dipping in terms of monetary value, maybe yeah, they'll start paying attention.
I'm very cynical about this, as you know, and I really hope this isn't just Xbox, Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo, you know, coming out with these statements because they feel like they seem to be on the right side of the story. Yeah. They've said, you know, in each statement they were like, oh, and there's been movement behind the scenes. We've spoken to them. We've told them we expect better. Blah blah blah. Again, that needs to have teeth. These can't just be empty statements. So however long it takes them to sort this out, but you know, I would expect and hope that Xbox and PlayStation and Nintendo will be following up on this and keeping a close eye on it. And if there hasn't been any substantial change in, I don't know, 3 to 6 months or whatever, then as you said, there are all kinds of, I mean, pulling the games off the store would obviously be the nuclear option. But, you know, pulling out marketing agreements and saying, you know, we're not going to do, you know, like there's not going to be any Activision games at the next Xbox showcase or PlayStation State of Play or whatever. There are all kinds of cards that they can play. And I would like to see, can you imagine? I mean, there was also just engender so much goodwill from all of the gamers that are just waiting for like someone to step up and be the good guys here. Mm. Activision Blizzard aren't going to fucking step up and be the good guys. See the statement they put out? It was the most mealy mouth, fucking non-committal, fuck you statement. Oh, we respect all feedback from our valued partners. It was just a marketing way of saying go fuck yourself.
It hits the same beats that literally every YouTuber influence apology video does. The way there's a formula to it: start with a deep sigh, hold the dog up, say I've been thinking about this a lot recently. It's that same kind of formulaic response. And like it is, like you said at the start, people see through this. I think the important thing as well is this is a crucial crossroads where we either the industry, the big three, either set a good precedent or a bad precedent. Like if this is all it is and it has no teeth, you're going to show other companies who have similar workplace cultures and are maybe going through similar controversies, just not right now in the spotlight, they're going to see that they can get away with it and they won't be held accountable. However, if you go the opposite way and do bite down and show that there are consequences, you put the fear of corporations kind of like pulling their support for you into these companies, and they rethink it.
It's completely unprecedented. The only thing I can think of that's even close, and it's not really even really comparable, is Sony pulling Cyberpunk off of the PlayStation store. That obviously was just an issue with the game's quality, but it was still Sony pressing the nuclear button. The interesting thing about Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo all coming out and making these statements is they have now put down a marker very publicly, right? Like once you've said this, it can't be unsaid. And so it is now not just on Activision and Blizzard to clean up their act, or face the consequences. But it is now for Sony, and now that Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft have all said these things, they now need to be seen to follow through if, in fact, Activision Blizzard doesn't get its house in order. Otherwise, they are going to be exposed as just empty words. So right now, they're just words, but the fact that they've said them is meaningful because we are now, they're now publicly exposed having said that and will now be expected to take action as they said they would if this situation doesn't improve. Mm.
I expect this story will continue to unfold and there will be more wrinkles to it. But we've run a bit long and we do have a few more stories that should be a little lighter in tone. But before we get to that, we're going to kick it over to a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Purple. There are tons of gimmicks that promise a great night's sleep right now, but it doesn't matter how heavy that weighted blanket is. If you're sleeping on a terrible mattress, your sleep will be terrible. That's why I recommend sleeping on a Purple mattress, because only Purple mattresses have the Gel Flex Grid. And if you haven't experienced this, oh boy, do you need to change your life. It's a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around pressure points, and it doesn't retain heat. And I can attest to that. I have the pillow as well, and I never even need to flip to the cold side because both sides are always the cold side, and it is fantastic. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. Get a Purple mattress. Go to purple.com/kindoffunny10 and use code kindoffunny10 for a limited time. You can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/kindoffunny10. Code kindoffunny10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. purple.com/kindoffunny10. Promo code kindoffunny10. Terms apply. Next up, shout out to ExpressVPN. Are you using the internet without ExpressVPN? If so, why? That's like checking your baggage at the airport without a lock. You think your stuff is private, but you never know who's going through your underwear, and that's nasty. When you go online without a VPN, your ISP can see all your internet activity, and they can legally sell to people who use your data to target you. But ExpressVPN encrypts and anonymizes your data so your ISP can't see your activity. It's super easy to use. Literally, you just click one button. Plus, it works on all kinds of devices, your laptop, your phone, but also things like your router, and it can protect anyone on your network. I use ExpressVPN. I love ExpressVPN. I know that my internet is safe, and honestly, that makes me feel a lot better day to day. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny today. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. And finally, shout out to Upstart. What would you do if you didn't have high interest loans or credit card debt? Upstart can help you get out from under your debt and start living your life again. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan all online. Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, at your current employment and credit history to find your smarter loan rates. You can even check your rate in just 5 minutes for loans between $1,000 and $50,000. One of my really good friends had debt in a whole bunch of different places and was able to use Upstart to consolidate in one place, just make it a lot simpler, and now he's debt free. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use this link to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and other information provided in your loan application. upstart.com/kindoffunny.
We're back with a PSA coming from the third best video game website on the internet. That is, of course, GameSpot.com. The Xbox mini fridge PSA, it's loud and it's kind of annoying. This is written by Gabe Goin, who says, the Xbox mini fridge officially released this week, bringing next-gen style to your drinks and snacks for $100. What you get is what you pay for, however. And in the case of the Xbox mini fridge, that means a cooler that is so loud, it's maddening in most setups. I got mine out of the box, says Gabe, excited at the profoundly stupid thing I had pre-ordered, and set it up next to my entertainment center so I could have easy access to my caffeinated beverages while gaming and working. I plugged it in, which itself was a challenge, as the plug did not want me to experience what was coming next. I turned on the lights and laughed. Then I flipped the cooling switch and recoiled in horror as the sound of a jet engine erupted out of the tiny fridge. Make sure your sound is up before playing the video. Kevin, there is a video there if you want to
play. Oh, there's a video?
Yeah. Do you want to play it, Kevin?
Second, I get I'll
carry on reading. The Xbox mini fridge is easily as loud or louder than the actual Xbox Series X or PS5 when they have disc spinning. In fact, at 50 decibels, it seems to be significantly louder than the Xbox itself. Rather than cool with some sort of refrigerant like a, well, refrigerator, it makes use of thermoelectric cooling. The idea is that it doesn't have to use dangerous chemicals and the cost is almost certainly lower. But it also means that a fan is basically just pulling warm air out of the main chamber at all times to lower the temperature. I asked manufacturer Uconic if the fans ever turn off and the answer was no. So here's a video.
Doesn't sound that bad.
It's not going to come across in a video. I don't.
Yeah.
I have a comically loud PlayStation 4 Pro. Like, yeah, so much so that when, like, we're talking, it comes up, and then the whole stream hears about it. So,
yeah.
I remember playing Last of Us Part 2 on the PlayStation 4 Pro. It's like a leaf blower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kevin, the kids on the Twitch chat said they couldn't hear it. But trust us, it is loud. I had the same issue with the PlayStation 4 Pro. And I tell you what, I took that shit apart and cleaned it and replaced the coolant on there. And it is like whisper quiet right now. It's just incredible. It's a fun little weekend project if you ever want to do it, Kevin.
Man, having a console really is like having a PC now.
Yeah, it is.
No, come on. Like, I took it apart to like vacuum it, but the coolant seems like a step too far.
Yeah, I did the thing when mine was so bad. I took the lid off and did just the stuff with the compressed air, but I feel like it wasn't enough. I feel like you really have to.
When I did it, I had like laid out every piece of that hardware out of it. Like
that's farther than I'm willing to go.
It was surprisingly easy. Like, I'm inept at this stuff, and it was surprisingly easy. And the main thing was that the heat sink was just clogged up, and the cooling paste was basically dry powder at that point. And yeah,
that's what's been the big issue for a lot of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So on the mini fridge thing, mm-hmm. I used to have a $99 mini fridge from Walmart. The mini fridges are noisy, like they are loud. The one that I used to have, I eventually got rid of it because it was too noisy to have. I was like, I'll have it in my little office, you know. But the thing is, in my little office, you really do hear it chugging away. I don't know if this one's even worse than regular fridges. It sounds like it actually might be. But the one that I've got here, back here, the one that they gave us for the Zoa energy drinks, which is smaller, it's not the same model. It is one that uses chemicals. It isn't so much. You've got the same one, right? That one's not so bad.
Yeah, that one was quiet when I used it. It wasn't an issue. I think the thing with this one is like it's just noisy enough to make its presence known. And that's kind of, that can be a bit frustrating for a lot of people. Because Gabe does say, like, if you plan on having your system's own fans at full blast, and the Xbox mini fridge may not bother you at all, but if you ever want to hear ambient noises or have a conversation at a reasonable volume with your loved ones, the Xbox mini fridge simply isn't an option.
Wow, that bad.
Yeah, so...
Mike, did you order one? Did you order the actual, the full-on fridge?
We're talking shit about the Xbox, and naturally, like, some sort of
Mike
Avenger.
Mike had to jump in.
Xbox enthusiast here, Mike. I had to jump in. No, Gary, I really tried hard to pre-order the Xbox mini fridge, and unfortunately, due to timing, I missed it by about 23 minutes exactly. I was very upset about that. But I was going to jump in and say the same thing Gary said. So the Zoa energy drink one that, Tam, you have as well, mm-hmm. that one is super quiet in my house. I can't hear it at all. So to hear this, that's really saddening news, because I was really pumped up about this. I was at the forefront of banging the drum wanting one of these. Mm-hmm. That's too bad that it sounds like that. Like, that's the last thing I want out of something so cool that's going to be in my gaming space and somewhere where, like, there is going to be a lot of quiet time. And sure, I'm going to put my headphones on a lot of the time, but, like, that is supposed to be quiet, like, really cool and relaxed. That's too bad to hear.
It is a problem, because the whole point of having a mini fridge is, like, having it nearby, right? That's the convenience.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
So, like, when my old Walmart one that was really noisy, I was like, oh, I'll put it in another room. But then I'm doing the same thing that I did before, going to another room to get a fucking drink. That's the problem the mini fridge is supposed to solve. So I always wonder about things. I mean, surely they must have plugged it in, like, at the factory or whatever. They had the first prototype. They're like, does anyone think this is too loud, maybe? I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, like, there were a few people who were, like, replying to the tweets that the manufacturer was putting up with their own videos, and some of them sounded really like something is wrong here. And the manufacturer was acknowledging that. So it could be a case of the first batch of them
like
have a
batch of bad ones or something.
Yeah, a batch of bad ones. And maybe over time they're like, hey, we've got, you know, the Xbox Mini Fridge S, and it's quieter or whatever. They could work that into marketing. But for now, it seems like it's probably not a great idea. Mike, I hate the idea of you being upset about this, but I do have some great news for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I checked the size on those Xbox trainers, sneakers that I have. And I'm happy to say I believe they are size 12, so they're yours.
Okay, size 12, you said?
Yeah, you said 12, right? That's what you needed?
I said 9.5. You got massive feet.
Well, you got some big feet.
I'm a baby.
Holy shit.
You know what they say about people 10. With big feet, right?
You're the best.
You're incredibly clumsy and you fall over yourself constantly.
And that's when I leave. Goodbye, everybody. You're the best. Like...
In better Xbox news, you can now explore the history of Xbox and your own history with Xbox with a really cool interactive 3D museum. This is just a quick aside. If you go, there's a Xbox museum site that is live now. It's got 3D interactivity, and if you log in, it will pull up your own history and show you your own like history with the Xbox brand across the years.
What's the link for that? What's the URL?
I'm not actually sure. I think you just type in Xbox Museum, I believe it is. Kevin, I'm sure I can find it.
We'll have my amazing history with Chrome Xbox hands museum, on the Xbox 360.
Okay. Yeah. The museum, interestingly, this is something that I think both of us can appreciate as cynical Brits, is the museum isn't a sugar-coated view of the Xbox brand either. It's got the Xbox One section calling out the system's high price and initial online-only connectivity and Kinect requirements.
And the Kinect. Yeah, you got to own that shit.
Yeah, you got it. And like, I think it's real good that they are. And then as things improved, of course, the little stories you can see get more positive. And the Xbox Series X and S section ends with a teaser of cloud gaming and the upcoming 6-part documentary series. You can actually exit through a virtual gift shop too, which is cool.
It's broken very, shit very on nice. My computer for some reason, but it is museum.xbox.com.
Awesome. All right, I'll check that out later.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. Cool. Story number 4 comes from VGC's Tom Ivan. Did you know VGC is from the rising from the ashes of CVG, Gary?
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
They just rearranged the letters?
So like, I used to work for CVG and Tom Ivan.
Back when it was computer and video games.
That's why I'm bringing it up. Yeah. And I did the same thing. And the editor at the time, Andy Robinson, one of my closest friends and was a mentor for me as well. And Tom Ivan, I worked alongside of. And when Future cut us loose, these guys went away and built VGC, which is a cheeky little reshuffle of acronym. And,
so it's video games and computers now?
I have no idea. I think it's Video Game Chronicles, maybe even. Okay. So, but in my mind, it's always just, we figured out how to get behind this. But a remake of Square Enix's a classic RPG, Chrono Cross, is reportedly in development for multiple platforms. Chrono Cross, which was released for the original PlayStation in 1999, was one of many unannounced titles listed in an NVIDIA database leak in September. Shout out to NVIDIA for leaking. A list the company subsequently admitted was real, even if it said the games didn't necessarily exist. The following month, VGC reported on claims that the PlayStation was set to announce a remake of a big game this Christmas, which were made by a musician who said they were involved with its soundtrack. Folk singer, I'm going to butcher this name, apologies, Ebha McMahon, who performs as Ava, told Irish radio station WLRFM that she had recorded an Irish language theme for the game, which had yet to be revealed. And according to Xbox Era co-founder Nick Baker, the remake in question is Chrono Cross Remastered. Chrono Cross Remastered, I think, was already on the NVIDIA leak list, so the game shouldn't be a surprise. It was on NVIDIA's list. But I was told that the VGC article is about Chrono Cross Remastered, he said on the latest Xbox Era podcast. What else I was told, because everyone's working under the assumption that it's a PlayStation exclusive, I've been told that it's not. The only word used was multiplat. When I hear JRPG and multiplat, I automatically assume PC, PlayStation, Switch. That's my assumption.
Could be iOS, Android.
Yeah, exactly. They do love that. That's not what I was told, just as my assumption. All my source said to me was multiplat. That's what they said. That's why they told me it wasn't PlayStation exclusive. Baker continued, but I think there's confusion because it says that PlayStation is set to announce it. So everyone just works under the assumption that PlayStation is announcing something that will be exclusive, which they don't always do. Pragmata isn't exclusive. They've announced plenty of stuff that isn't exclusive. But again, I don't know if Xbox is one of the platforms that work on the assumption that it's not because it's a JRPG. During her radio interview, McMahon claimed she worked on the mysterious PlayStation game soundtrack with composer Michael McGlynn and his daughter who sang on the track in question. So, Chrono Cross, any history with it? Are you excited about this?
No, not really. Although I generally am a fan of these of the JRPGs from that era being remade. There's a bunch of games like Chrono Cross, Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, you know, the whole Mother series. There's a bunch of those games that I never really got into at the time, but where I feel like a modern remake could be a good opportunity to go in and kind of discover it.
Yeah. So have you not played Chrono Trigger?
No.
Chrono Trigger is still, it holds up remarkably
well.
Yeah,
I know. These games are a big blank page in my video game credibility.
Chrono Trigger, also Chrono Trigger, not very long, and it is just absolutely incredible. Like it holds up. It's like a dream team of creators, like Sakaguchi, Final Fantasy folks, Toriyama, Dragon Ball, and Uematsu, the Final Fantasy composer, and Square and Enix, like firing on all cylinders. And 2D, very like humble beginnings, but like ambition like you still haven't seen in a JRPG.
I wonder why they're doing Chrono Cross. I mean, again, I'm going to reveal my ignorance here, but my question is, why would they do Chrono Cross and not Chrono Trigger, which I think is the more well-known title, isn't it?
I think Chrono Trigger is universally considered to be basically perfect, and like you don't want to mess with that.
Okay.
I think it's a Blade Runner 2049 style situation, where Chrono Cross, on the other hand, is a little more divisive. Some people really loved it. Some people said it wasn't a worthy successor. So I feel like they can get away with not touching the perfect original, but coming to the one that has a lot of...
Final Fantasy VII would be in that same category. They still did that.
Yeah, I think Final Fantasy VII was... I feel like it's aged out in a way that made it a little more exciting. And also, like, people wanted Final Fantasy VII remake. No one's asking for a Chrono Trigger remake or even a Chrono Cross remake. People are more interested in like a re-release, and they've really re-released Chrono Trigger successfully and unsuccessfully a few times. The PC version's fine. The 3DS version is probably DS version is probably the best version of it in the modern day.
I should go find it on Steam. Maybe that's how I play the original.
Yeah, if you have a DS and can access the DS version, that one's incredible.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, the PC version's fine. Chrono Cross is a little more divisive, and also Chrono Trigger holds up really well because of the pixel art style. Chrono Cross is that early PlayStation 1 3D, which looks janky and looks very dated. So I imagine that they can come back to it with a fresh coat of paint and rebuild it to be something cool.
Chrono Trigger is on Steam for $15.
Damn. And then the other thing is, like, it's going to be harder to remake the original Chrono Trigger because of the amount of people tied up in it, like Akira Toriyama, who's a machine at this point now. His name is a business because he does Dragon Ball and Dragon Quest and that kind of stuff. So
right.
Whereas this is like separated, and they kind of like went in another direction for it. But yeah, it's worth checking out for sure.
Yeah.
Next story comes from a press release, and it is Harmonix joins Epic Games. This is reading from the Epic Games website. Today, we are delighted to welcome Harmonix to Epic Games. Harmonix is one of the world's leading independent game development studios, best known for creating Rock Band and Dance Central franchises. Harmonix has a track record of creating fun and engaging music experiences designed for everyone to enjoy as we work to build the metaverse. God help us. This expertise is needed to reimagine how music is experienced, created, and distributed. The Harmonix team will collaborate closely with Epic to develop musical journeys and gameplay for Fortnite while continuing to support existing titles, including Rock Band 4. Harmonix has always aspired to create the world's most beloved interactive music experience, and by joining Epic, we will be able to do this at scale, said Alex Rigopoulos, co-founder and chairman at Harmonix. Together, we will push the creative boundaries of what's possible and invent new ways for our players to make, perform, and share music. Music is already bringing millions of people together in Fortnite, from our emotes to global concerts and events, said Alan Tuscan, vice president of game development at Epic Games. Together with Harmonix team, we will transform how players experience music, going from passive listeners to active participants. Before we respond to this, just a quick Q&A that they did. What does this mean for Rock Band DLC? Nothing. They're going to continue with their existing DLC plans, and they have a lot of great tracks coming up in 2021 and next year. Will you keep doing rival seasons? Yep. We've got season 25 already planned and plenty of ideas for 26. What about Fuser events? No change in that. Does this mean more Rock Band instruments will be made? This is not our current plan. Will Fuser and your other games still be available on Steam? Yes, all games will remain available on Steam and console. What about servers for insert Harmonix games here? Will those be taken offline? Nope, no plans to do that. And what will Harmonix team work on next? Our team will work with Epic to create musical journeys and gameplay for Fortnite. While we're not ready to share any specific, the whole team is incredibly excited to get started. Stay tuned. How do you feel about that, Gary?
I think it's good news. You know, I have a lot of fondness in my heart for Harmonix as a company, and obviously big fans of many of the people that have kind of, you know, gone through there over the years. But in recent years, I've kind of, it struck me as a company that, at least in my own imagination, has always kind of seemed like perpetually moribund. Like any time that you hear the name Harmonix, I'm like, are they still going? Like when they announced Fuser, I was like, really? Harmonix is still out there and making music games? But then I tried Fuser, and Fuser, I don't know if you played it, but it actually is super fun.
Yeah.
And really, really good. And shows that when it comes to music games, Harmonix still really, really know their stuff. They absolutely just dominate. It's a very small genre, like basically one, but they dominate it very well. I had no idea they even still were supporting Rock Band and putting out Rock Band DLC. But I remember, you know, it's really interesting how much times have changed. I remember back in the, you know, the Xbox 360 era when, you know, Beatles Rock Band and Rock Band and Guitar Hero kind of ruled the world, and we all had all the plastic instruments. And then it went to a point where, like, every time you went to a Goodwill store, there was like a whole section of just fucking plastic guitars. And I remember one period, I was like, you know what? I don't need this shit in my life anymore. It's like, how do I get rid of these 12 fucking plastic guitars and a drum kit and all this other stupid shit that I've got? And then it was one of those things that, like, it definitely had its moment, but, like, now it's gone. And you know, the interesting point in that press release is I don't think there'll ever be like a new plastic guitar that will be made.
No.
But here's the thing. I'm glad that this has happened. Because I think Harmonix is a cool company that deserves to stick around. And I've always worried about them financially. Like how much money can that company be making independently on their own? Was Fuser a hit? I don't know. Again, the Rock Band, you know, era that they really kind of made their name off of is basically gone. That's not, you know, the money truck it used to be. And so the fact that Epic has bought them means that they're now kind of cradled by a company that, you know, gives them a lot of financial security. And like, it's easy to be cynical about Epic in many ways, but I get the impression, I feel like they are a good steward of the it's not like being bought by EA where you're like, well, that's it, we had a good run. I kind of feel like Epic, it probably kind of nurtures and supports the studios, like Mediatonic, you know, so far it seems to be going fine with Fall Guys. I think it's good news for Harmonix.
Yeah, for sure. And I had like flashbacks up to working in retail. I worked at a game when Rock Band and Guitar Hero were at the height of their popularity, and the amount of plastic instruments that we had, like massive boxes coming in and then like people trading in their plastic crap. Oh my god, it was a nightmare processing all that stuff and finding places to put it, and it was just crazy.
I remember thinking that it was the coolest thing. I went out, when they did Beatles Rock Band, I went out and bought that George Harrison guitar that they had, and thinking it was the coolest thing. And it never really occurred to me, like, you actually look really silly doing it, playing this very silly looking, basically Fisher Price guitar with little colored plastic buttons. But the games were really, really fun, especially when you played as a group in a band. But it was one of those things, like, it's had its day. I don't think the Rock Band Guitar Hero genre is ever coming back. I don't think they'll ever make a new plastic instrument. No. But I think Fuser demonstrated they can find ways to stay relevant and keep up to date and make music games that continue to be part of, you know, that feel like they're reflective of today's music scene. Like Fuser and the whole kind of music festival DJ thing was really, really cool, and it was really, really fun to remix those tracks, and I've had a lot of fun with it. I'm glad that Epic will hopefully now give them the financial support and the creative, you know, encouragement to continue doing what they do really good, which is make games that no one else makes.
I mean while we're giving eulogies to plastic instruments, just a rest in peace to DJ Hero from Freestyle Games Extent Entertainment, sadly also published by Activision, one of my favorite, most underrated plastic instrument music games.
I could never get into the game, but I had a great sound. I had a bunch soundtrack on my iPod for a long time because those mashups were really good.
Banging. What an incredible soundtrack. I still bump some of them, so good. And then the other thing about this is, like, it makes perfect sense. Like, I this sounds like overblown to a degree, but I think Epic Games have redefined what musical experience are for the digital age. Like, you know, for years and years and years, we've had concerts. They've always been one specific thing, this physical thing that you attend in person, and you get this unique experience. And there's nothing quite like attending a concert or a show in person, right? But they found an interesting way of creating something as unique. Maybe it doesn't work for you specifically, but there's hundreds of thousands of people that it does work for. And that is the concert in a digital age. Like, we've seen the Ariana Grande stuff. We saw the Travis Scott stuff. We saw all the concerts that we're doing that they were doing, where people were sitting in front of a monitor. But it's not just like you know, I attended a virtual Kendrick Lamar concert with the Oculus Quest 2, and it was atrocious. It was just like, you are just in a crowd and you're staring up at pixelated Kendrick Lamar performing. He doesn't look at you or anything like that. you jump into like the Ariana Grande stuff or watch videos of it, and it is this event that consumes the world, where a giant, you know, version of the pop star that you are there to see, like, you know, is stomping around and doing their thing, and you're this little figure, and it becomes an event, and you have this communal thing, and then it's gone. It is the magic of a concert, where you have that unique experience that you had to be there to experience it. And talk about it, but you're doing it in the digital age, and
I'm glad that you made that point, because it's something that didn't occur to me. I think the Epic Games and the Harmonix kind of marriage, if you will, mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense, since Epic and Fortnite has moved into this kind of virtual concert performance space, and Harmonix obviously really excel at bringing gaming and music together. I think, you know, they can find really interesting ways to kind of merge their skill sets and come up with new stuff.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is whenever those concerts happen, there's a level of, as well as experiencing it and enjoying it, there's also a level of disconnection that happens from the Fortnite game experience, if you get what I mean, because you walk into this area and basically numerous mechanics are taken offline, so you can't, like, you know, all you're basically doing is emoting and jumping back and forth. But Harmonix is a team that understands and is experts at creating unique gameplay mechanics around musical experiences. So what they've basically set themselves up to do is you can now go into this concert and you'll have unique gameplay opportunities and interactivity points within these concerts, instead of just being able to do that one thing of jumping around and, you know, just emoting, that kind of stuff. So that's incredibly exciting. It feels like a genuine evolution of what they're trying to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see the absolute machine that is Epic start lining up even bigger musical acts, because we've seen how well it works for them. So it is, if you're the kind of person who enjoys music or
attending concerts, sounds like a much more interesting iteration of the metaverse than the fucking, you know, virtual office space prison that mm-hmm. Zuckerberg wants to put us all in. We're just fucking perpetually in meetings our entire lives.
Yeah, my hope is my hope is that one day I will be able to attend a Kendrick Lamar concert in Fortnite, but I reckon that is very, very far away. However, if I wanted to know what was coming to the mom and grub shops today, Gary, where would I look?
The official list of up-and-coming software on each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday. That jingle, I don't know why
it's lovely.
It gets the hate that it gets.
I love it. It's like a little smooth jazz. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's good vibes.
All right, so since there's going to be no more Kinda Funny Games Dailies for the rest of the week, I'm actually going to run through the out todays for today, the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th, and it's going to be very quickly, so pay attention and keep up. We've got out today, Death's Door, PS5, PS4, Switch, My Universe, Interior Design for Switch, Deer Simulator, your average everyday deer game for Xbox One, PC, Let's Sing 2022 for Switch, Puppies and Kittens, Switch, Tunnel of Doom, PC, out tomorrow, the 24th, Forza Polpo, that is not the Forza game that you probably want, but it's out on PC, Drizzle Path, Deja Vu, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, Poker Club, Switch, King Under the Mountain, PC, out Thursday, the 25th, A Gummy's Life, PS5, PS4, Switch, Cricket 2022, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PC, don't play virtual cricket, Don Don Pachi Resurrection, Switch, Deer Simulator, your average everyday deer game, PS4, Switch, Dyland, Pocket, Planet, Xbox One, who are the five best rappers in the world? Dyland. Robo Shark Rampage, Switch. Shiro, Switch. Doctor Who, Edge of Reality, Switch. Asterix and Obelisk. Wow, they still going. Slap them all, Switch. Number One Sudokus. I don't know what that means. Switch. Puzzle Frenzy, Switch. Cute Honey Bunny Girl, PC. This is not a game about Gary. It is a game about a cute bunny girl. Out Friday, the 26th, Date Night Bowling, Switch, PC, Nightlights, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and Switch, Little Bug Switch, Cabin Fever Switch, Starlight Shore Switch, Real Boxing 2 Switch, and Lens Island, PC and Mac. There you have it. New dates, The Escapist 2, Tropico 5, Orcs Must Die, and Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet are coming to Games with Gold in December. Asteroids, Recharge, Hyperspace, Warps to PC, Switch, Xbox, on PlayStation on December 14th. I missed these, so thank you to Blessing, I think, for putting this in. Or maybe Kevin. Everforward is coming to all major platforms on December 7th, 2021. Deals of the day, Fnatical is having a big Black Friday sale where you can get discounts on A Plague Tale, Innocence, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Origins, Valhalla, Back 4 Blood, Far Cry 4, and 5, Horizon Zero Dawn, Metro Exodus, Red Dead Redemption, and a bunch more. If you've been waiting for a discount on Deathloop, now's the time to strike. It is $25 on Amazon, which is a steal for one of the best games of the year. 10 out of 10, GameSpot.com, reviewed by me. It is incredible. We don't have any reader mail this week that doesn't address anything that we haven't already talked about, so we're going to skip that, and we're going to go to You're Wrong, which I expect will have nothing in there.
What can they have? They got nothing on us.
Joshy G says, nothing. Perfect show. T.I. King says, Tam, your camera is tracking your face, and as much as you shake your head, watching your screen is nausea-inducing. Love you and your work. Can you set your camera to stop doing the shaking stationary, please? Absolutely not. If you don't like it, deal with it. Nanobiologist says, for comparison, 50 decibels is the same as a refrigerator. It's not a level of dangerous noise level that can be damaged to your hearing. Okay, cool. Nanobiologist also says VGC is Video Game Chronicles. I said that, so that's not technically wrong. Tomorrow's hosts are nobody. I've said this multiple times. It is Thanksgiving.
You're on your own.
You're going to have to figure this stuff out. Just keep pay attention to the news and you'll get it. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay.
You'll find a way to navigate the world of video games for a few days without us.
Just stay. Don't do it on Twitter. if you're watching live on Twitch after this, there is going to be Mike. There's going to be Andy. There's going to be Nick. Maybe I'll pop in if I can. I've got someone coming to fix my boiler. And there's going to be maybe Gary playing Halo.
I might head over there for a look-see.
Halo, baby. You can play, watch all the green Lego Power Rangers fight each other. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday, except for Thanksgiving week, live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news that you need to know to impress that gorgeous person that you're trying to get the attention of and make your life partner. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, laugh and grow fat.